What's So Fool Podcast. Welcome to the What's So Fool Podcast. Today is What's So Fool Podcast Day. For everybody out there who listens every Friday, thank you very much for listening. Today I'm going solo, fool. I'm going solo. Rodrigo Torres is in Mexico City, hanging out over there, eating some good tacos. It's just me today. And the manager over there on the side. And our engineer to the right over here, chilling like a villain. He probably goes through 100 podcasts every week. Oh, my God. How can you do that? Man, by 100 podcasts, is damn, you don't even care. I don't know, man. I couldn't ever do that. But people do that, man. I'm surprised you don't have a ponytail like most people who work something, doing what you do, they have a long ponytail and it's braided like that guy from Silicon Valley who works in the dungeon. I didn't know that guy was a comedian. I know that guy. He's a funny comedian. He's been around, that dude. He plays guitar.
Yeah, Henry Phillips.
Henry Phillips. Yeah, I worked with him before at the Comedy Magic Club. And he's nothing like that character. What's up, fool? Okay, man. Today's episode is sponsored by Dollar Shave Club. Shout out to that guy who got the Dollar Shave Club. Rodrigo's not here, but if you want to be shining like his fat cheeks, go to Dollar Shave Club. We love having Dollar Shave Club as our sponsor. Rodrigo Torre loves it. Yeah, man. Right now, man, he's over there shaving como chingón over there in Mexico, showing everybody how to shave. Do you know why Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice? It's a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. Like, they just bring it to your door. You don't have to go to the store and get more razors. No more cheap shaves. You know, it's funny, man. I started noticing, like, towards the late 90s, that all the good razors are locked up in a safe now. Really? People were stealing razors? I guess meth heads will sell anything. Comes with the awesome Dr. Carver's Shave Butter, which helps prevent ingrown hairs and fight razor bumps. Let me tell you, man, if you have like a curly beard, razor bumps are a problem, man. I didn't even know sometimes if that was a bump or a blackhead. And I remember I would press on it and press on it and no hair would come out. Then the next day I got like this bubble. It's all infected. Oh, gross. So if you want to avoid that problem, go get that Dollar Shave Club. You too can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. As one of our listeners, for a limited time, new members can get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that month, the razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. Your first box will arrive and you'll get an awesome heavy handle razor, a full cassette of 4 cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. No hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel anytime. To get the deal, join today at dollarshaveclub.com/fool. That's dollarshaveclub.com/fool. So that's our ad, man. And we're so happy to have an ad. We're so happy that our show is doing well, you know. You can listen to it on Audio Boom. We're in the top 100 now, man. Last week, we were number 75. And before that, we were number 65. It's all because of you guys who listen every week and support the What's So Fool Podcast. So, upcoming shows, May 18th through the 21st, Tempe Improv, with Rodrigo Torres, Chris Thorin, and dun-dun-dun-dun, Martin Rizzo doing the second show on Saturday, and hopefully a Sunday show and a late show Friday. He'll be there, man, looking for a victim. June 1st through the 4th, I'll be at the Arlington, Texas, at the Arlington Improv. June 25th, I'll be at, don't really matter where I'll be at. That show is sold out. Not even get you excited about it. It's sold out. Sometimes, man, you got to pay attention to my post, my Instagram, my Twitter, because shows pop up, and then they're sold out. Like, we're having our first show in East Los Angeles on Soto Street and First Street at a place called Cities. June 25th. And that show sold out in like in 35 minutes. It was gone, man. And this guy was selling tickets out of his house. Yes, man. So the show is sold out, but that's in East LA. July 1st, I'll be at the AVA Amphitheater in Tucson, Arizona with Paul Rodriguez. Orale! Orale, cabrón. But then you stick to your time, eh? With Paul Rodriguez and Tierra, Malo, and War. Tierra, Malo, and War. Tierra. I remember that band. You guys don't know who that band Tierra is. They're from East Los Angeles. I can't remember any of their songs, but they used to perform with Little Willie G, who we had on our show. They're a cool band, but the band broke up like in the 90s, and they separated. And one brother got into a fight with the other brother. They're called the Salas Brothers. And they got into a big fight. So one brother took the half of the band that way, and the other brother took the other band that way. And there was Tierra 1 and Tierra 2. So I remember that because Carlos Oscar was on stage, and we were at the Victor's Steakhouse in Alhambra or Monterey Park, and he made a joke about Tierra 1 or 2. And that fool walked up to him, "Hey, man, I'm from Tierra." That shit was hilarious, man. It was funny because he was making fun of their songs. He said, "Yeah, man, I got all your albums. I got the song you guys did, the oldie one. I got the collecting one. I got the same song on the remix." And that fool got all mad. But anyways, so that was that fool, man. It was hilarious. I wish I knew the name of the song. Fuck it, I'll look it up right now. So that'll be cool, man. I'm only going to be doing like 20 minutes. On stage, not even 20, because we're like the opening up for the bands. It'll be Paul and I, so it'll be a fast show. We'll probably do like half hour each. I might bring some merch, because I know the bands are going to bring merch. I might bring merch. Have Rodrigo, Sally, I don't know. It's going to be quick. So, Tucson, Arizona. So, yeah, man, so this is Tierra, people. You guys might have heard their songs. They had a song that was popular for a while. Did I find it here? Can't find it. I'll go to YouTube. We'll put it in later, man. But I want you guys to hear it right now so you guys can know what's up. Also, check out the FelipeSWorld.com/tour for all shows, dates for the rest of the year. Dollar Shave Club. Don't forget, DollarShaveClub.com. And also go to our FelipeSWorld.com. Our little Amazon window and search for whatever you need for your delights. What's up, fool, man? Last week, I did a show in Colusa Casino with Larry Bubbles, Bubbles Brown, and Rodrigo Torres. It was like, thank you, everybody who showed up. Sold out show. It was fun. And I haven't been in a while, man. It was crazy ass crowd. Oh my God, it was crazy. First of all, we were staying at the hotel room right next to the casino. And I thought that, you know, we could just walk through the casino and get to the show. No, man. They gave us a ride. We were on a little golf cart and they took us to the side. And the green room was like a block away from where the show was. So we had to get another ride from the green room to the show. So we're backstage, and I get introduced. The crowd is going crazy. 30 minutes into my show, people start yelling shit out, like really yelling shit out, like trying to be part of the show. And then I was doing a joke about the 49ers and the Raiders. And this dude was a Kaepernick jersey passes by and wants to talk to me from the stage. And this guy's wearing, first of all, he has a big afro just like Kaepernick. But he's bald from the front. So he looks like that guy from the Three Stooges, Larry Fine. That's the one that has a big bushy hair. He looks, yeah, but he was bald, man. So, I don't know. I started making fun of him, you know. I started using my improv skills. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, we have Kaepernick's father right here. And then after everybody laughed, I took a little kneel. And the crowd goes crazy. I even took a selfie with this guy because he was being so loud. Then some fat cholo from the left-hand side, he was yelling out choloisms, which I didn't know what the hell they were. Choloism. Orale, vato. I love you, man. You're the best, day. Orale, thank you for coming out. He got all... One thing about my shows is... like, you go to some shows and people are fucking dressed up, man. Like, they're wearing the best clothes. Like, you go see Bruce, or you go see Cedric the Entertainer. Everybody in the audience is dressed up like they're about to go up on stage. Like, it's a fashion show, man. These people, they're dressed up like Mother's Day at a Baptist church on a Sunday. At my shows, or maybe just Calusa, man, people showed up in their fucking house shoes. Like, there was a guy in the front wearing house shoes with fucking basketball shorts and a jersey, and his girlfriend was all dressed up. I guess somebody didn't really want to go. He's sitting in the front, man, house shoes. Let me tell you, man, I'm not going to pick a fight with nobody at the club wearing fucking house shoes. House shoes, man. So this guy in the back is wearing like an oversized Black Hanes jersey. It was like, it was long, man. I think the shirt went down to his knees. I think he was wearing the Raiders 90. What do you call that, man? What do you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to the comedy show, bro. I'm going to get all dressed up, bro. I'm going to fucking iron my black long t-shirt, eh? And I'm going to make sure it goes down to my knees. And I'm going to wear my pants, bro. I'm going to look like an Indian woman, bro. Basically, is what this fool looks like. So that fool was all dressed up, heckling from the back. What's up? I got an email here. What's up, fool? Man, we're back. Yeah, so that shit was crazy, man. It's weird when I do a theater show, people are drunk. It gets crazy. It turns into my old shows at the Wild Coyotes. When I used to perform at the Wild Coyotes on Wednesday night, it was like comedy battle royal, man. Like, you really have to do improv. Like, I know a lot of comedians, they sit down and they riff off the stool, but it's a trick, man. I'm not trying to put down anybody who riffs. You know, if you could riff, you could riff, but it's the same riff every time he goes up there. It ain't like the same riff where, you know, he's being heckled and you got to make something up and then go back to your set. That's real riffing, man. When you're doing your set and then somebody heckles you with a Kaepernick jersey with a bald head or a cholo, and then you got to go back to your set. That's some real riffing, man. When you could just riff, make fun of somebody, and then go back to your act. And most of the time when I make fun of somebody, since I've done a lot of shows, I'm doing like the same joke I did on this person that I did in Tennessee. You know, like if I make fun of somebody with a greasy forehead, it's going to be the same joke I did the last week on somebody else with a greasy forehead. I mean, because that riff or when I first said it was so hilarious, I had to put it to my act. Oh, man. And I got to hang out with, so riffing, like there's some people who riff who are really good, like Don Rickles. But there's some people who riff who are not really making shit up, man. You know who you are, Doug. You know who you are, Doug. You know, riffing to me, man, like if you're going to like improvise, I would do that if I'm trying to do new material. Like, you know, I go up there and just start talking shit till something funny comes up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Like the best riffing or improvisation I think I ever done was when these five comedians went up before me, and they were all bombing. I mean, they were sucking, man, like, like, the kind of bombs where you're questioning yourself, why am I out doing comedy on Friday night when I should be at the movie theater with my kids or taking my wife out for dinner or staying home and writing new jokes? The kind of bombing, man, when you just want to, where nothing is feeling good, man. Like, you go home and your wife is fucking an open micer or something. Bad bombings. And I was laughing in my head, like, fuck, these fucking guys fucking suck. They fucking suck. What am I doing here on a Friday night with these amateurs? I go up there and I start bombing harder than everybody. It was like bombing hard. And like, the other guys bombed, but they got off the stage in 10 minutes. I gotta go up there and bomb for 30 minutes. So I don't know what to do, man. The jokes aren't working. I went through all my material in 15 minutes. So I did something that I learned that you can only learn when you're bombing on stage. I started being honest, really honest. Like, I told the audience, I gotta be honest with you guys. I was up there in the back being cocky with myself, like, oh, these comedians fucking suck. The first guy sucked. Then I said his joke the way he said it. And then I said, this guy fucking sucked. Then I did the second guy sucked. And I'm backstage saying, this guy fucking sucked. And I'm up there thinking, I'm going to destroy the audience. But look at me, man. I'm fucking bombing harder. This is how my improv skills came up. Right above the stage was a boat, okay? A fucking boat. Like, there was a boat, man. There was just a goddamn boat. And I said, man, look at me, man. Normally, I'm fucking on top, under a boat. I'm not fucking on a sinking ship. I fucking sunk before this fucking ship. So I was bombing hard. Our guest just arrived. What's up, fool?
How you been? All right, man.
I was watching you on TV yesterday. I said, fuck, am I on my podcast? No, you weren't getting paid for it. It was for Comedy Dynamics.
Oh. What the hell?
Yeah, man. I have Roku on my TV because I got rid of cable.
Right. I got the same thing.
Yeah. So then I looked up for comedy, uh-huh, and Comedy Dynamics has a page. It's New Wave spinoff, mm-hmm, and Bob Summers, I guess he sold the special you were on to Comedy Dynamics, and I looked at it, and you were on. You were the first comedian of a young comedy show.
Yeah, man. Actually, that was Laugh Mob's We Got Next, and it's actually on Spotify and Napster, and it's running. It's been over in South Africa. You know, I got some friends over there who told me they saw it on television, and you know what? It's a good look for me. You know what I mean? I like it. You know, did a great job on it.
It was good,
unlike,
man.
Unlike what BET did to me.
Oh, back in the day.
It was horrible.
And you did the one with Byron Allen too. That one always pays.
Oh yeah. I did that. Did they air that?
I don't know. I did the same year you did.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Eric, who is one of the producers, told me that they held back on it for some reason. I don't know. But Byron, man, he's got a lot of good things going on for himself right now.
They held back on it because I think Byron Allen was suing these other stations that wouldn't put on his shows.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
He was suing Comcast, and he mm-hmm. won. So then it'll air over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest today that... when people say, I started doing stand-up comedy with him. Mm-hmm. No, I did start doing comedy with him. Back in 1996.
Oh, man, jeez.
He came in here eating a hamburger.
I went to an Italian restaurant, man. I was hungry, man.
What are you having?
It's a chicken sandwich, chicken sub sandwich with, you know, all the good things on it.
You want a napkin?
No, I got a napkin right here. Yeah, I didn't even ask him for a napkin. I was just so hungry. I was just like, yo, just give me that sandwich. I'm out of here, yo. But it's good, man. Right on the corner from here. I mean, my wife doesn't cook for me, so I got to figure it out myself. You know? My daughter's grown. She just worry about, you know, these teenagers, they worry about the selfish. They fucking selfish, man.
Oh, man.
Am I allowed to curse on this motherfucker?
Do whatever you want.
All right, cool.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Yorcy Thomas. But yeah. When I first met this fool, his name was Yo Mama.
Yo Mama.
Remember
wow.
that shit?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when I was talking with Lisa. I was like, fuck, I've known this fool for a long ass time, and he knows the same fools I know. And I was I first met Yorcy. We met each other, I think, at the Natural Fudge or open mic at the Comedy Store.
I'm going to go with Natural Fudge. With Natural Fudge because that's a fucking classic, bro. Old school Natural Fudge. It was like a closet.
It was.
They had like six chairs in there, a hot ass spotlight, and an old freaky lady used to run it.
She used to make out of the waitstaff.
Yeah, that's why if you got a chance to go crush, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, man. And she had a husband named Johnny Roberts.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, man. Johnny Roberts. He was a guy with a suit. He used to host the show. And my first time there, man, it was late 94. Late 94. When I first started doing stand-up, I didn't know shit about stand-up. I just watched 80s comic.
Right.
So I went up to dress like Fozzie Bear, bro. I had the coat.
Well, you still look like Fozzie Bear.
I had the fucking coat with the patches, dog.
Right.
And I had a bolo tie. Idiot.
Wow.
And then I go up there, and her husband, right, Brenda, whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Her husband was Johnny Roberts. He was hosting a show. Hey, kid. We're shooting a comedy show next week. We want it. For I thought I made it.
Wow.
For real. I thought I made it. I went back and I got my pants. I got to buy this. I wasn't even thinking about the set list. It was my first time doing comedy. And man,
Big time, baby.
I didn't know it till a year later. It was local access.
Yeah.
Channel 3. You can't even have cable to watch this.
Right there on Fountain near Scientology, bro.
Right there, man.
Have you been past that place lately?
Yes. It's an apartment.
It's an apartment.
I always point at it and go, yeah, I started there. I think it's called the Melrose Playhouse now.
Ah, man, it looked like an apartment complex to me. It don't have anything on it. The last time I drove past there.
It was funny, man, because they had a lot of 8x10s. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that were probably starting off with, like you, Alonzo Bowden, Jimmy Kennedy, Cynthia Levine.
Yeah.
And there would be all these, Brian Holtzman, all these photos up. And I didn't know Alonzo Bowden, but he was staring at them too. Mm. And he goes, who are these people?
Right.
He says, those are the stars.
Hey,
it was rude. It was like pictures of people that never been to that place.
Bringing some crazy memories back.
Rita
right
Rudner and shit.
Yeah. Then we had Wild Coyotes, man. I'm sure you talked about that a lot on your shows, but Wild Coyotes was awesome. Also, a 10-year awesome place
run.
To go. Yeah, man. To go
and we paid.
Out. Yeah, man. I remember, man. You know, just going in and just, you know, getting my chops up, bro. And, you know, that place toughened my skin, man. And I owe a lot to them, those guys, bro. You know, and it's been some wild shit going on over there, too, man. A lot of cholos used to come through there, the Mongos. And I remember Oscar De La Hoya used to hang out there, too, man. And it was fun times back then, you know. And Gabe, you. Shoot, man, Chivago.
Don't forget me, Doc.
Yeah, Doc. Oh, Jeff. Jeff Garcia.
Willie, a drunk ass.
Willie, Jesus, man, bro.
We got spoiled.
Who was
that
the DJ?
Room.
Who was the DJ?
It was a bunch of Ron, some gay guy named Ron Williams.
The white boy. What's the white boy's name?
Oh, David Chase.
Chase. There was a. Oh yeah, I remember. She came tail in.
Then when they karaoke, they had that fool singing.
Jesus, man. It's good to see you, man. I'm glad you have me on the show, man. What is this like? I heard this is your 150th? 150th or 151? 100, okay, like Bacardi Rum. 151,
yeah,
baby. Bring the black guy in.
So right now I was talking about, man, how...
Where's the rum at? No, there's no rum theme here tonight? Jesus Christ.
You guess so, man. So fridge over there, you want a beer?
Oh, okay.
I was talking about, man, the show I did a lot. I don't want to name the comedian that was there, but I was last... Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like 20 people there. It was in San Pedro, the Sheraton, a Friday night. And I was watching these fools bomb, bro. The kind of bombs where, man, what the motherfucker doing here on Friday night?
Is this currently?
No, a long time ago, 15 years ago.
Right.
But I was being cocked in the back, going over my set. I'm going to kill these motherfuckers.
Right.
These motherfuckers are whack. That's why I'm getting paid $60.
You know, they lowered that now. It's lowered now. It's $25 now.
No, it's just, not even that, man. Just bring 10 people.
Right.
So I go up there, man, and I start bombing hard. Mm-hmm. But what I'm learning from was that was the first night I was honest on stage. And I told the audience what I was thinking before I went up. Mm-hmm. I was telling the audience, all these fools are going to bomb. All these fools fucking suck.
Yeah.
And every time I said that about somebody, they were dying, bro.
Right.
So I was saying they suck. But I thought I was going to kill them here. No, I'm bombing. Right. I got to make fun of these hacks just to get laughs.
Right. Change the atmosphere.
But I changed it, man, and I learned a lot from them. If you're honest, it works. But then I went back to Coyotes. Well, Coyotes, to be honest, I honestly sucked over there.
Yeah.
We always tell the audience here that the people at that Wednesday night room, as we got better in comedy, that audience got better at heckling. It was the same people there.
Right. Yeah, we had a lot of regulars that came through over there, man. And they were raunchy, bro. They were raunchy, man. And I tell you, if you can break that crowd, bro, you had something. You really had something, you know? And I don't know, man. It's just, I was just going, man, because I was happy to get paid for one.
In a meal, though.
In a meal. It was awesome. I would get there early. I would get there Fuck early yeah. to freaking eat, man. And but it was, man, great times there, man. Some other places, man, we used to do too, man. Of course.
Rudy's Room.
Rudy's Room. Where was that?
The Red Bull.
Oh, I can't
The Brave
that.
Bull.
Oh, man, now you like got me scratching my head now. Damn, I know there was Casa Latina, too.
Yeah, that was a spot, though, man. That was Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
It was Monday nights, and Wild Coyotes, Tuesday nights, Casa Latina. Wednesday night, somebody has something. Thursday night, the Commerce Casino.
Yeah, man.
Friday night, I don't know where, Red Bull or somebody
had
a
doing Commerce? It wasn't Rudy back then, though, was it?
No.
He took it over after a while. And it was, yeah, man, Edwin San Juan is doing good, too, man. Edwin, you know, he's out in Vegas doing his thing.
That Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, man. I went out and I worked with them a couple of times, man.
What's that like, man, to work 7 days a week?
It's awesome. For me, it's just, you know, I'm in the gym, you know. Not only that, I'm hanging out with a good friend, man. You know, all you guys, man, I consider my good friends, you know. And just to be out there with him and see his family and him living in a good light, man, it was awesome for me, you know. But to perform every night like that it's like being in a gym, man, and going to work out, you know, and he allowed me to do that. You know, I wasn't trying to make it tough for him. He wanted me to make it tough for him because it makes him better. You know, he doesn't get comics like us to go out there and challenge him, you know. And, you know, a couple of times I would do it for him, but he would pull because he's a vet. We're all veterans, man. We could follow each other, no problem, you know. But he's doing well, man. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, man. You're originally from New York?
I'm from Jersey, Atlantic City. I lived in New York before I came here, though. A lot of people think I'm from there.
On what street of the Monopoly game are you?
It's not on there. Pitney Village. It's not on there. Let me see. Baltic Avenue would probably be
my
the
wife
closest,
said that that those streets are actually ghetto, the ones that...
They are.
Like Baltic is actually ghetto.
You know what? I just brought that game. I just bought that game, and it's the new one. You know they have one now with a credit card.
Oh,
sick, yo. I guess, you know, a lot of people were counterfeiting money and Monopoly money, so now they got to do credit cards and stuff. So, nah, I'm joking.
So, Atlantic City, huh?
Yeah, man, AC, bro. Have you performed there yet?
Never.
No? What's wrong with you, man?
Never been booked
out there.
You got
the Borgata.
The Borgata.
They used to have the Trop at something, Comedy Stop at the Trop, but they closed that down. Yeah. But I think now it's just the Borgata, man.
You started comedy there or here?
I started comedy here, man. Back in 93, I had just got out of prison. And y'all didn't know that?
I was in prison. I don't know you were in prison, but from my peripheral people talking, I think Toby Hicks or maybe Eric Blake had mentioned it.
Yeah.
They used to score from one of them.
Yeah. I used to Eric Blake.
Yeah.
No, actually, I was, me and my homeboy, it's a long story. Eric Blake, I can't put his business out there like that.
We'll cut in and just say another comic.
Yeah, another comic. But anyway, man, back in the day, I knew Eric, though.
Yeah, he used to ball, right?
Yeah, he was a good baller, man. But back in the day, though, you know, that's when I first met him. But I had decided to get into comedy sometime later. And that's when Def Jam was out, and I was inspired by that. I was like, yo, I can do that. And then at that time, the girl that I was dating, her girlfriend's boyfriend was doing stand-up. And I was like, yo, this guy is deep. He's funny. We went and saw him. He was like, funny. I'm like, yo, I'm going to get my knowledge from him. And I was like, yo, Brandon, yo, man, what do I need to do to start doing stand-up comedy? And I'm waiting for him to give me, like, the holy grail. You know what I mean? He's like, just do it. I'm like, come on, man. It's got to be more. What else is there, man? It's something else I need to do. I got to do push-ups. I need to do sit-ups or whatever. What do I need to do? He's like, just do it, bro. That's it. Just go up on stage and do it. And that was it. That was it. And I was, like, left bewildered, bro. Like, oh, man, it's got to be more out there. But I wrote out 3 minutes, man, and did my first set over at the Golden Sales. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, Long Beach.
You remember that? No, that was El Segundo.
El Segundo.
Yeah. It's called Golden Sales. So I went out there, man, and I had 3 minutes. I think the guy put me up first. And, man, I can remember just already shit. I must have left a trail of shit going towards the stage, bro. I was petrified, bro. I mean, like, sweating, and I got up in. But what I did was, before I went up, though, is I convinced myself. I said, look, no matter what happens, you get through this material, this 3 minutes you worked on. And as soon as I said, like, 2 or 3 words, boo. And it was like,
fuck.
It was like a ripple effect, bro. And these are all black people, okay? And they're raunchy. They didn't give a rat's ass about the shit I had to say. And I'm like saying to my mind, just get through it, get through it, get through it. And I'm talking, and they just kept booing, getting louder and louder. Man, bro. And so something in the back of my mind said, hey, man, listen, just tell them to calm down, and, you know, you want to get this last thing out. Just get them to calm down. And I was like, hey, guys, listen, just calm down. Please, just calm down a second. Let me just say one more thing. Please, just let me say one more. And I noticed that the crowd started getting lower and lower. The boosters started, you know, and then they all calmed down and it was quiet. And I was like, fuck you, and left. I was like, and ever since then, bro, I've been going strong head on.
That's crazy about when a black crowd didn't like you, Michael. We had Chepo, Juan Garcia.
Yeah.
That fool's talking about that. Nah, man. They were booing me. They were booing me in a song.
Wow.
It was like, boo, ooh, 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 ooh.
Wow.
They were going, boo, boo, boo. They were all chanting, bro. That's the worst.
Oh, man. But, yeah, man, that was my first time ever going up, man. And I never looked back, man. Never looked back. But,
yes, I'm telling you. What's the worst bombing you had?
That one.
That one, huh? But that was your first time you came back and tried again, though, right?
Yeah, man. I kept going. Obviously, I'm still here. I'm still doing it.
I think a booing like that, my first time would have made me sad and not come back for another year.
Mm. But I've been booed a couple of times after that, though. I remember I did a Def Jam audition. Got booed doing that. And then the next day, they gave me another chance at the Comedy Act Theater. Got booed over there, too. So I was like, yo, this ain't working. And I think I went and got a job. I got a job, and I was working, and I said, you know what?
Steady Systems.
Yeah. You remember that?
My wife, I was talking to my wife earlier about it.
Wow, bro. Jeez.
Because
you remember that, bro?
I was thinking, like, wait a minute. Your C knows Jose, which we used to call Vacuna growing up. And you know BB, which is the fucking biggest bullshitter. And Rafa. My boy, he plays left-hander. He used to have hit long. Big guy, big Mexican fool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with the three guys.
Yeah.
And then I was telling Lisa that my first TV credit was in 1996 on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to this barbecue because Ralph, is throwing a big barbecue. We have a listener who knows those three guys. Raul, what's up, Raul? Shout out. He goes, Felipe, I'm going to have a barbecue for you at my fucking house for me and I think Roxy. And I get over there, I'm on a battle. Well, I don't know where the fuck it was. I get to the barbecue and Yorsey's there. I said, fuck, you know your mama? Oh, Yorsey Thomas? Yeah. He goes, work with these fools. And wow, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So we were there. I go, wow.
Steady Systems, bro. Small world, man.
Small world.
Yeah. What that fool doing now, man, you know?
BB is delivering food with fucking Uber and
what?
Grubhub.
Oh my god! And bro. Hate Grubhub.
And he was
the worst, bro. Somebody stole my food one time. My food came cold one time, and they stole my food another time. I gave him a benefit of the doubt. Okay, this dude must have been hungry. Never came with my food. Yeah, man. I'm not trying to bash Grubhub, but
You gotta go. Well, I got my the wrong food showed up one time. The guy was fucking gone already. I got on the phone, you know, I calmed down, and they took the charges out of my card for all that food.
Yeah, I got it.
But it's not worth it because you're still hungry.
Yeah. I'd rather go get it myself, bro.
But in Chicago, the Grubhub guy, he was a fan of stand-up comedy. He knew who I was.
So they see your name and everything?
No, when he showed up, he saw me. Hey, yeah, man, I'm going to the show. Me and Rodrigo were with him. And he goes, yeah, man. Hey, bro, you want to take us to the show? So he brought the food and he drove us to the show. Went home, took a shower, came back with a fat blunt.
What?
And then after the show, he drove us back. So I give him 4 stars.
Yeah, dog. Wait, aren't you supposed to give him 5? Is it 5?
4.
4, that's it? I thought it's 5 stars, man. You chipped the dude.
It was 4?
Nah, man, it's 5 stars, bro. I think
you were using
Lyft,
though. Oh,
really? Oh, okay, that's different then. Yeah.
No, this guy was Grubhub.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm beat with, though. He does Grubhub.
That's not through Uber?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well, the Uber Eats, that's what it was.
Uber Eats.
Sorry, I didn't mean to point at you, but.
So you got the job at 30 System with them fools?
Yeah, man. I was working the graveyard over there. And man, it's dope, man. I was getting paid a lot of money to work there on graveyard, doing nothing pretty much. But I knew I wanted to do stand-up comedy, man, because I used that time there to write and create, man. And, you know, it was even though it wasn't busy over there, I saw it as an opportunity for me to, you know, work on my material and get out. And I remember, man, just being able to get on stage and then get off and run to work because, you know, I had to be there at 12 or some shit, you know. So I had to show up to clubs early, man. But you know, man, 23 years later, bro, still doing it, man. I'm a lot funnier. Cats are calling me a legend now. They trying to hang around me to get all the information they can out of me. And they asking me what they got to do. And you know what I tell them?
What?
Just do it.
Do it.
That's it. Just do it.
We both got to work with Russell Peters.
Yeah, man. I saw Russell the other night, matter of fact. Russell's cool,
man. We see your
wrist.
Huh? You're not wearing it?
What's that?
He didn't get you a watch?
Nah, he didn't get me a watch. I'm not that good with Russ. But now Russell's good. Russell's good people, man. He took me. He let me open for him a couple of times, man. And he took me and Edwin, San Francisco, one time. Did a great job up there.
It's weird when somebody's too generous. Huh? You don't. You feel like what's going on here?
Yeah.
What do I owe you?
Right.
I take it out my pants.
Yeah. But other than that, man, it's you, man. Just fucking last comic standing, man. Fucking
last comic standing.
I think the last time I saw you, we was doing like cocaine in a liquor store parking lot or something.
Yeah, man. We were. you know, it's funny. One of the stories that we talked about here on the podcast was that time that you showed up to Wild Coyote to do your set. Then you said, Felipe, man, this cat that wants to do comedy at 2 in the morning. This guy named Doug. Bro, I told that story in another podcast, and man, after that story, people were telling me, Felipe, you got to start your own fucking podcast.
Yeah.
So, Jesus, and that fool showed up to my show.
Really?
He had a photo of me at his house getting Dougie points.
Was that not the best, bro?
Yes.
Insane, bro. This guy had his place darkened out. Blackout. I mean, when you walk out of that place in the morning time.
For like Vegas.
Man, bro, you're like a damn vampire, man. It was like, ah! God, jeez.
I always tell the people, man, for everybody who know, man, this is your seat. Thomas, the one I told you about, got me at that gig at Dougie Points. We're walking around Dougie this Points. Place, right?
That's funny.
And they had liquid coke hitting all over the place.
Oh, Lord. Jeez, man. I used to have I got tired of sniffing the damn powder. So I saw somebody, they took their cocaine and he had it like in this, like those nasal things. You used to squirt
nasal
your
sprays.
Nose. Yeah. And he had like a little water. He added a little water to it and shit. I was like, all right, let me try that. And I used to walk around in there like I had sinus problems and shit. Like, other note.
That's the noise it made. But it was, I thought it was, When I was using it, he was telling me, "Yeah, bro. When I go out of town, man, I just pack it in my suitcase, like nasal spray.
Yeah.
I get to New York, man. I bust out at party. Everybody asking me to give him a little squirt.
Like you get through he security, goes, no problem with those
he
things.
He goes, I'm thinking of changing my name to.
Right.
But I thought that was like the most, you know, when you're doing coke, you're like, fuck, this guy's a fucking genius.
Right, right.
I'm going to do that at home now. Nah, you don't do it at home, man.
Man, hey, dog. You know what? Those were some of the best times of my career.
And yeah. I remember you and I were partying. No, what made me laugh one time is I did a bunch of photos, and every photo of the picture had me in different posted, like me laughing real loud, like, me all sad,
right?
Me all mad, me surprised, me looking crazy. And then everybody was writing something, but you wrote the funniest one. Yeah, I've seen all those faces.
Right, right. Man, bro.
Jeez, man.
What else have we been through in this?
Hell yeah, bro. You saw a murder, bro.
I did, actually. Damn, bro. Man, what happened on this day? You know, I used to go, this dude, as a matter of fact, he was my coke dealer and my weed dealer. Oh, yeah?
Yo, you took me there one time and I waited outside, you gave me a little bail.
Yeah.
For $50.
Yeah, my man, I used to go there before. I used to, like, this one particular night, it was like March Madness too, man. And I stopped over there, man, and, you know, just before I went to do my show at the Union. And, I was booked too that night, and I stopped there just to hang out and talk. And we were talking about stories, man. Like it was my man Jason, one other dude, and myself. And we were just talking about how we were accident prone as kids, you know. Just talking about, you know, I talked about how I was swinging on this swing one time, and this girl was pushing me real hard, and then I finally got, like, you know, when you're on a swing and somebody's pushing, I mean, not like a swing, but I'm hanging on this bar. It was like a gate that was split open onto the freeway.
Yeah.
And so she's like pushing me out towards the freeway, you know, but no cars was coming. It was kind of late. And then she goes, let go. And I go, all right. And I let go. And I'm like, my feet are up in the air while my head is back, like, towards the ground. And I fall back on my hand and broke my wrist. And I was telling that story to him. And then he goes, yeah, man, I remember I was riding a bike and some lady just cut in front of me. And he, like, hit her and his bike flipped over and he, like, when he looked up and his leg was turned the other way like that. Like, I was like, oh, shit. So we, like, trying to top each other's fucking accidents and shit as kids, you know. But then it was a knock at the door, bro. And, man, he got up, opened the door, man, and all I saw was this hooded dude coming through the door with a pistol to his head. And I clearly remember him saying, lay down, homie. He had that L.A. accent. Lay down, homie. And he put had the gun up to his head. And Jason, you know, he was a military vet. And I guess he tried to do some type of move, you know what I mean? And it didn't help him none. And I heard the gun go off, bro. But before that even happened, man, usually Jason would have, you know, his daughter on the weekends, and I guess his kid would go home on that Monday. It was a Monday. His kid would go home to her mother that Monday. She didn't go home that night. She came out. I didn't even know she was in the back. She had came out when we were talking, telling our stories and stuff. And I was like, oh, your daughter's here. All right, cool. He sends her back in the room because we was, you know, he was smoking and doing drugs and shit. And then that's when, you know, now I understand why he did what he did, because his daughter was there. And so, you know, I immediately got up, man. The other dude, I don't know what happened to him. I jumped up, man, and I ran to his room, and I saw his daughter laying in the bed, and I told her to hide because we were up on the second story, and I didn't want to jump out the window with her in my arms because I didn't want to risk hurting her. So I told her she should hide. And I tried to open the window. Window wouldn't open. I tried to break it. You know, I'm like, now I'm in the fucking movie zone, so I'm like trying to break it like this. It wouldn't break. And then I saw how to unlock it, and I unlocked and I stepped up in the window, bro, and there was nothing there to break my fall but this thin-ass fucking twig of a tree, bro, from the second floor. And I said, fuck it, I'm going for it. And at the same time, I'm looking at the door because this dude is coming. I heard one shot, that was it, and I was gone. and I'm listening for more because that other dude was in there. I'm like, he gonna kill that fool. So anyway, I jumped down on that twig, bro, and it saved me from her causing damage to myself. And then I started running out the parking lot, and at the same time looking back at the window because I didn't want that dude coming to the window and start busting at me. So, and then there was I've jumped into a parking lot, and you know there's an automatic gate that slides. It slides closed, but it was closed at this particular time, and I've tried to climb over it. And as I was grabbing these spikes at the top of this gate to climb over, one of them gave way and I fell back. And just as I fell back, I saw those two dudes walking slowly, casually, as they're taking off their jackets and shit to the car. And they put their shit in the trunk and they got in the car and sat there for a few minutes. And then they took off. So I'm like, these dudes are professionals.
Hell, they're waiting for somebody to run out, huh?
Yeah. They came there for a reason. And so I managed to get over the gate after they pulled off, man. And I went around. I ran upstairs, bro. And I saw my friend Jason. You know, there was a couple of people over him with towels and stuff, man, and trying to stop him from bleeding. It happened. He just got shot in the head. And I left, man. I couldn't stick around, bro. I had to leave. And something told me to go back because the motherfuckers were going to come looking for me, of course, you know, because I got my fingerprints all over the place. And then I had to go down and, you know, do the whole routine thing with the police, man. But Jason was a good dude, man. You know, he was a little sloppy with with the way he handled his business. But that was my experience, man. You know, to this day, man, I think I stopped doing drugs and shit after that, man. You know, because I don't want to be in that atmosphere, man.
Damn, man. I remember you showed up to Fly Town that I was there playing Madden.
Oh, yeah, you was over there.
You were freaking out like, dog, you can just come to my house right after that shit happened.
Jesus, man.
But, man, you were.
See, I used to hang over at your place,
were,
too.
Yeah, you were, like, you seen a ghost, bro.
Yeah, man, it was.
I never seen, like, your face look like you seen, well, what you saw.
Yeah, man, that was a hell of an experience for me, bro. And I tell you right now, man, that's one of the reasons why I don't get involved with, you know, that drugs or anything, man. And I mean, I still smoke weed. I go to the dispensary for that, but hopefully nobody ain't gonna come in there and try to kill nobody.
Yeah. Hey, man, but for a while we were partying hard, huh?
I remember hanging out at your place a couple of nights, lights out, TV on, playing games and shit, and doing rails, bro. Where you used to live at? You was like close to downtown. You had a nice little spot that
overlooked. I'm Boylston, right there on downtown.
Yeah, overlook downtown. Didn't
used to
it?
Make that cool little straw, bro, with aluminum foil.
Yeah.
I remember trying to make it when you were gone, fucking it all up. I said, this guy comes with fucking apps.
Yo, man, you know, you become crafty after a while when you fucking learn how to do cocaine for so long. You ain't got the utensils and shit, man.
I remember your scene was very stylish, too, man. And he had a very contagious laugh.
Oh, Lord.
Like when he's with you, man, and he's laughing, it's a real, like a real genuine laugh.
Can you do an impression of it? Because I don't know what it is.
I can't even do it, man.
Jesus.
I got to remember it. There it is. It's kind of like the only song.
Shit. How about the time we stood in line, man, for fucking
the first night, right?
For
Last Comic Standing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. That was we stayed out overnight, didn't we? It was an overnight thing.
I was talking about it. You, me, Rodrigo, Yorcy. We always tell the story that, man, we all had gigs that night,
yeah,
but somebody was holding our spots.
Right.
Then we get there, man, we're up all night.
Wow, bro, that was...
We made it through, but I didn't get picked.
I actually, they aired my maybe a good 15 seconds of my shit, bro.
They didn't air me, man.
They gave me a check for that, too.
Awesome.
1,200 beans, bro. And you know what?
What?
I got that check, and I remember...
You old ass trying to get together away.
No. The production company... The production company was like, hey, the union is asking that we sign this check over to them. And at that time, I was sleeping in my car, bro. I was homeless, man. And wait a minute. The union wants all of this money and I don't have any? For what? You didn't stand in that line all night like I did. You didn't get me that gig. You didn't do anything to for me to give you this whole check. You know what I mean? So I was like, hell no. And I took that check, man, and cashed it. And, of course, I got high and stuff like that.
Because you had a... Cause you did a TV credit before that, probably like 5 years ago.
I was on Mad TV.
Yes, so that one they kept, and they figured, well, when you we'll get them motherfuckers.
Yeah, I was Taft Hartley or something like that. Yeah, so I had like one foot in, one foot out type of thing, and I was like, well, yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, sure, you know, I appreciate you. Look, I appreciate what the union does, man. It's a unity thing. Like the writers' union, and I think comics should have a union as well. But you know, it's about doing what's right for people who work hard out there and making sure they're getting compensated for their skills or whatever. I'm down for that, bro. But
man,
if I'm hard up, bro, and I'm in my car, you know, I gotta pee in a fucking bottle. I gotta get the big mouth bottle. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, you
can't use these little water bottles.
You're supposed to be peeing in a little Mickey's big mouth. So if you have a six pack somewhere.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, man. He be peeing in those big Fanta bottles.
Right. I gotta use a thermos, bro. Yeah, stick my whole dick in there.
Yeah, the URCPs need this motherfucker needs a Sunny Delight bottle. Y'all motherfucker be peeing in snack packs.
One time I tried to piss in a can, cut my dick all up. God damn. don't try that at home. Jesus.
Yeah, you were like living in a car for a while, huh?
Yeah, man. I had a Honda Civic. It was a 97 Honda Civic.
You would show up to Walker, you're just sleepy.
Yeah. There was times I slept over there too, man. All right, guys, I see you. I'm going home. We sit out there and bag on each other for a while. I just wait till I'm bagging on the last person and he leave. All right, man, I'm done. All right, bro, take care. See you later. I go on my car.
And you
go
went
park
to
on the street somewhere.
A lot of USO trips?
Yeah, man. I did a lot, bro. Have you done those?
Never.
Man,
you did one with Trenton, right?
I don't recall going out with Trenton, bro. Has he done those?
Yeah.
I didn't know. But, yeah, I used to work with, not USO, but it was MWR. I did a lot of shows for those guys, man, over in the Middle East. But at that time, it was Iraq, Kuwait, Afghanistan. I've also been to Japan and Germany. And just recently, I was over in the Mediterranean, bro. You know, Greece, Jordan. Man, Italy.
I remember when you came back from the Mediterranean, man. You were wearing those Mediterranean white pants.
Who
dressed like a Muslim.
Hey, man, those pants are comfortable. Sheets, they look like sheets. Hey, man, they're comfortable.
They were like,
I remember
they were white, almost like MC Hammer pants.
And I had my kufi and shit, yeah. You know. But, you know, man, if I had to choose, I don't have a religion right now. I don't follow a religion. I think all religions are more like a cult. But if I had to choose, it would be Islam. And I think they're more strict, they got this shit together, bro. You know what I mean? Although I like the fact that you're able to have more than one wife. How about you, Felipe? Would you like to have more than one wife?
Yeah. If my wife would approve of it.
If your wife approved. She would have to be the first one, though. You know, she control all the other four bitches.
Yeah, if I was Mormon, she'd be like the main one.
Yeah, I don't think Latin women would tolerate that.
Hell no, man. Yeah. You start getting into a fight every night.
Yeah.
Imagine five Latino women saying, "Donde vas, where are you going? Where are you going? Take me with you. Buy me something."
How come you haven't done any of the military runs, bro?
I don't know. Probably back then they didn't have a green card. What?
Nah. Whoa. You got one now?
Marco Antonio.
You good now?
I've never been asked.
Are you good now? Can you travel?
Yeah, I'm good. I can travel anywhere now. I have a driver's license.
Well, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he's going to make it tough for you.
I'm good to go now, bro. In 2005, man. That's when I did the Young Comedians at the Montreal Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. So that means from 2005, right, 5 year span, no AFTRA, no union gigs.
Wow.
So I go do Premium Blend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Montreal Comedy Festival doesn't pay nothing, you know, they just pay for your trip and your shows. So I'm with an agent now, right? So I get Premium Blend, right? And I'm broke, dog. Like, I have no money. And I'm thinking I'm going to keep the check. Without even asking, they took that motherfucker.
The union?
Yeah.
What?
And I was so sad.
You have to sign that over to them.
Yeah, but I didn't know. But I was just happy. You know, I thought I was going to get it, and they didn't get it. But I was mad. I was like, what? And I remember Gerald Wright, he pulled a fit, bro, at over there at the fucking the Just for Laughs thing with Bob Summers and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He wanted his check right there. They didn't want to give it to him. He was all pissed off at them, bro. You couldn't, there's nothing you could do, man.
Wow. So they just took your shit like that, bro. Wow. That's got to be a weird. That sucks, man. It's just a jack. It's like strong arm robbery. You know what I mean? Just. But what can you do, man? You know, I mean, I'm sure you're good with the union now, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm good, man. I got my teeth fixed.
Oh, dope. Let me see. Oh, snap, yo. Dope, man. Give me a kiss, motherfucker.
I'm ready, bro.
Look at you.
Gum treatment, everything, bro. Got a missing tooth over here that's going to be replaced.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Look at you. You got a beautiful smile. Look at that smile, bro.
I'm good to go, doc.
Yeah, awesome, man.
I remember, man, when we're partying, and I had a chick at the time. And then she was sleeping, and we just kept partying, bro.
Right.
And I couldn't believe it, man. It was a lot of good shit. Then I showed up to Peanut's house. What's his name? Huh?
PJ.
PJ's house.
You came to PJ's house?
Dude, wait a minute. What was I didn't even leave his house.
Wait, which one? Which house was this? Was it the one on Fairfax?
The one on Orange. Orange Street.
Oh, the little room? The little room? It's like the
one that. Yeah, but on Fairfax. On Fairfax, yeah.
On Fairfax, it was no. That was a house.
It was an apartment on Orange and Santa Monica.
Oh yeah. I know which house you're talking about.
He was living
there with that
little crooked dude.
Yeah, Davey. Yeah. Oh my God, bro, that fucking man.
I was there for 3 days straight.
God.
And PJ had to go to the comedy store at work, and I just followed him and I waited for him by the bar getting fucked up.
You with the wrong person.
That's what El Magico said. Magico and Joe Diaz saw me. He goes, "Who you with here?" I'm here with PJ and Yorsey. You're with a kiss of death.
PJ is the marathon cokehead.
he called me marathon. Days.
We used to stay on Normandy, like just north of Sunset, in it was a studio. Okay.
All you guys.
It was KD, my friend. He rest in peace, this dude's soul, man.
The good guy, he passed away in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he got killed in Vegas and Bally's. It was PJ, Davey Wester, myself, and KD. And we were in this one little small fucking room.
KD was at Dougie Point's party, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Davey didn't hang out with us much like that, but it was us three, really, the most, who was just, like, going at it. But we were coke whores. Yeah, this one particular night, man, after doing so much fucking coke, man, I was the only one who could probably fall asleep after doing coke out of the bunch.
I don't know how you and Joe Diaz could do that, bro. Do some coke, eat a burrito, and pass out.
Right? I'm gone. My rest is more important. Hey, why you think I look so young right now, bro? It's fucking fighting the cocaine to go to sleep and shit. But anyway, so this one night, I wake up, and TV's blaring away. Lights on. KD's knocked out. Davey's knocked out. But PJ was sleeping on a futon, and that was empty. And I'm like, damn, where the hell is he at? Well, maybe he went out and got a prostitute or something, you know, because they were all down that area. I said, well, now I got to go use the bathroom. I could get up off the floor and go in the bathroom. And I'm sitting there over the toilet doing my thing. And out of nowhere, PJ steps out from the showers. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like one swoop, bro. Curtain go back. He just goes right out and jumps on his futon. I'm like, what the hell was you doing in there, man? I think he was in there masturbating. I don't know what the hell. It was so weird, bro. Creepy, right?
Yeah, man.
Damn, that was weird. PJ lives in Jersey now, man.
He moved?
Yeah.
Trump supporter now.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Gotta believe in something. Can't believe in coke all your whole life.
Who you with?
I'm nobody, man. Yeah. Can't even vote, so. Independent, bro.
Yeah, you and I both, man. I don't care too much about it.
If I ever get to that tax bracket, I might go for conservative, bro. You don't gotta keep your money.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have no money.
Right.
You wanna keep your fucking social benefits, like free health care, Obamacare.
Right. You know, I'll vote for someone if they saying, hey, let's put it in the rent increase. I'll vote for you. Ain't no reason why rent should be going up, bro. That shit is ridiculous, man.
I know, man. You gotta go to a place that's rent control, like where I live, even, all old people.
But it still goes up, doesn't it?
Like 25 bucks?
Still going up, though. Like 3% or 10, yeah, something like that. Still, that shit putting a dent in my pocket.
I remember, man, when you were, I guess you were homeless at the time. Mm. But I didn't know because you would just show up with Japanese bitches.
This guy.
And I was like, what? I want to be homeless. I see, flown in from a USO tour, I guess. You had that one homeboy. I thought you were loud, but then you had that one homeboy that was louder, bro, from New York.
Oh, my friend Dante?
He's cool, bro.
Yeah.
You talking about Dante from Hollywood?
No, not that
Dante.
He's a dark-skinned dude?
Yeah, he wore a hat.
Yeah, Dante. I know you're talking
funny,
about
him. He's funny, man. He should be a comic.
Yeah. He's a nurse assistant.
He's loud
doctor,
and funny,
a nurse assistant or something. Doctor, I don't know what they call those people that go to school, to nursing school, to become a physician assistant.
He draws blood.
Yeah, he draws blood and shit. Check your pulse and your temperature. But no, he's doing really well in New York too. He used to drink that Adios motherfucker shit. Blue shit. Yeah. Oh God.
I remember seeing him watching while Coyote drinking Windex.
Right. That's what it looked like too. Yeah. Windex, bro. Man, that shit, man, fuck that. I knew that. Man, that shit probably give a person diabetes, but especially a black person, bro. I ain't trying to drink that shit. I'm not much of a drinker, man, but I smoke weed and a lot of cocaine back in my day.
A lot of party animals back then, huh?
Yeah, man.
I always feel like if you're partying like that now, you're going to die.
Yeah, well, you know, Freddie Soto, man, he...
You were with him, right?
I wasn't. No, I was actually overseas when he passed away, man, and when I got the news. But
I never partied with him.
No, I haven't either. I haven't partied with Freddie, but Freddie, actually, I'm lying. We probably did a couple of bumps in the back of the Comedy Store once. But he is the one who got me my showcase with Mitzi at the Comedy Store. Yeah, man. If it wasn't for him, bro, I probably wouldn't have never made it through. You know, but my first initial showcase was through him, but I didn't get passed. But I was able to, you know, get more after that. And I remember the last showcase I got before I got passed. I was standing in the back of the Comedy Store, and Mitzi had came in, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask Mitzi if I can showcase. I was talking to the two doors in the back, the door guy in the back and the parking lot guy. And those are haters. I can't remember who they were. But they were hating. They were like, nah, man, you don't want to go in there and mess with Mitzi, man. She don't like it when people mess with her in the middle of her showcase and shit. I said, man, shut up. And I went in there. You know where she sat, right? Like that chair right by the door, And I went in and I kneeled down beside her and I was like, "Hey, Mitzi," and she looked over to me. I could see her, you know, her face. You know, at that time, she was kind of a little. She was still competent, but she knew who I was. I was like, "Mitzi, can I showcase for you? If you get a fallout," and she was like, "Okay." And sure enough, bro, no less than 5 minutes later, bro, I went. You know, I was out in the back and. The cover booth guy at that time came out and was like, hey, Mitzi wants you to come and showcase. And, bro, I tell you, man, when I went up there, man, I gave it my all, bro. And sure enough, she told me right then and there, you passed. And I was so happy, man. That was the best time of my life over there. You know?
Your name got up there too, right?
Yeah, my name up on the wall. Yeah. You know, it meant something then, bro, because you showcased. I mean, I had to showcase at least 8 times.
Me too.
You know what I mean? And now these cats, bro, they, I don't know. It's different now, man. I'm not trying to talk down on them or anything like that, but they didn't work for it like we had to work for it.
They get passed right away now?
I don't think, you know what? It seems like it's like that. You know what I mean? It seems like it because I was there, man, for a while. A lot of those cats, they may have been there, but they never showcase. But then when they get that showcasing opportunity, then they get passed, you know.
It's like nowadays, they'll make you a regular just because you know Joe Rogan.
It's a who you know business.
Yeah, man.
But, I mean, hats off to those guys over there. Comedy Store is taking
every room sold out.
Every room is always busy now, you know. It's vice versa of what the Laugh Factory used to be.
Or the Haha.
They were busy one point?
Hell no, bro. They were busy when there was a cafe.
cafe. Oh, down the street when it was down the street. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I have my opinions about the haha. I'm always on the fence with those guys. But nonetheless, man, you know, business is business, you know, and you got to do whatever you can to survive, you know. That's what it's about these days, man.
You got shows coming up?
No.
No.
I'm happy being on. I'm actually, what I'm doing, Felipe, is I'm writing a screenplay, man. I'm in the middle of writing it, bro. And finally got around to, you know, getting up off my ass and stop procrastinating, you know, and putting forth the effort and putting the screenplay together. I'm pretty proud of myself at this point because, you know, I've mapped it out and I got the storyline down. Now I'm putting down the dialogue and my characters all developed and stuff. And, you know, and doing a lot of reading and watching movies and stuff and just trying to make sure I got all the pieces in the right place, man. You know what I mean? So I feel good about it. I feel really good about it. And I don't expect much from it, but I just want to make sure it's a great story, you know?
What is it about?
You? Just try to keep it brief. It's just basically about a kid who, of course, who was put in the position to take on a job that he has no training for, basically a fish out of water situation. But he takes on this job to get a girl. And at the same time, the the girl's father, who owns the business, is, you know, he has a gambling problem. He bets on cockfights, you know, and he loses his business to a cockfight And unbeknownst to his family, you know, he has to try to save it before, you know, the paisas come and take it from him. So I kind of got a nice little spin on it. So this dude, he promised the girl that he'd help save the business. And I don't want to give away too much because it's I think it's a unique ideal about it. But the typical structure for movies, you know, the coming of age, fish out of water type thing, you know. And, it's if I could just say the slug line, it would be, you know, to save a single flower is to save the world.
Oh.
Pretty much. Deep. So. But in that, yeah, just want to keep it under wraps.
You've seen a lot of shit, huh, man? Tell us about that time. Tell our listeners about that time you told me you were standing outside the comedy store smoking a joint. Somebody jumped off the building. Damn, bro.
Hey, damn, I can't believe you remember this stuff, man.
I know, bro. I just remember. Well, man, you know, when I have a
friend. Where are you?
Well, when you have a friend, you know, they tell you stuff, you don't forget that stuff.
You know who was with me? Thomas Ward.
Thomas Ward!
Yo, you should bring... He's in town, man. You should bring him on board, man. Thomas Ward, man. We were sitting at the comedy store. You know, like... You know, it was called... what was it called? It's And As now, but it's called the Hyatt.
The Hyatt, yeah.
And you know how it was set up. They had the balconies and, you know, up there. But this guy, this one particular day, I was... we were sitting right there in the front on the patio. And Thomas Ward... I actually had my back towards the Hyatt, and Thomas Ward was facing me as I was sitting up on the counter or the rail or whatever. And Thomas goes, "What the fuck was that?" And I heard it hit the ground like smack, like it was a piece of metal or something that hit the ground like smack. And I turned around and I saw this body laying in the driveway of the Hyatt, bro. Immediately I jumped off, man, and ran over there, and it was this white boy just sprawled out on the ground. And I just, as soon as I got there, bro, I heard him take his last breath like, oh.
Damn.
And that was it. He fell from the fourth floor. They said this dude was drunk or something. He tried to sit up on the balcony and fell off. To his death, bro.
Damn.
To his death.
So and he then, slipped through the bars?
Yeah, man. And they just recently had somebody got shot over at the comedy store, too. This was like last year, I think. Did you hear about that one?
The guy walked up to another guy and shot him.
Yeah, man. It was weird. You know what? Here's what a lot of people don't know. The kid who got shot, his family reached out to me through Instagram. So I was sitting in the back.
You were there?
Yeah, I was there that night. I was sitting in the back. There's a back bar for the comics and their guests or whatever. And, you know, it's crowded, music playing. And we hear pop, 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 you know. And the bartender goes, yo, that was just firecrackers. If that was guns, you know, people be going crazy and shit. And a few minutes later, piano guy Jeff comes in the back and says, hey, somebody just got shot out in the front. And everybody rush out the damn place. And I go out, and of course, me, my nosy ass, always like to look at dead bodies and shit. I go up there, but I'm coming from the parking lot, and I'm looking over, and I see the kid stretched out in front of the in front of the front door, bro. I mean, literally, like in front of the front door, this guy was taken out. Packed house, bro. That bar, that patio was packed, and I see this kid, man. So I thought about taking a picture of him, but I didn't do it out of respect. You know what I mean? But I should have, because that's just the way it is these days. You know what I mean? And but I took a picture of them carrying him into the ambulance, and I posted it up on Instagram. I took a picture of like people, the cops single filing people out of the parking lot. You know, making sure everybody's cool and whatever. I guess it's protocol for them. I took a picture of that and I posted it up on Instagram. Then next thing you know, I get a message from his aunt from New York. And she was like, yo, what's going on over there? I'm his aunt, you know, and what happened? And I tried to explain to her, you know, as much as possible, you know, what I knew. And I told her, you know, they said that some guy just out of nowhere came up and just opened fire on him. I said he was there with like three other dudes. One was in a wheelchair. They were staying in a hotel next door, and they had left him there. All three of those dudes went over to the hotel. That's when he got shot, and then they came back. So it's kind of weird how that happened, for them to just leave him like that.
Yeah, especially the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
He could have waited there. Where are you
gonna exactly.
Go?
Where are you going to roll off to? So they said this guy, man, he just stood right there at the edge of the edge of the entrance and just opened fire on a man, and all those shots hit him. You go there, there's no bullets in the glass door. You know there's a glass door. You know, yeah. No bullets in the wall. You know who else was standing there? Ooh. Sandy Brown.
Damn.
You know, she was a wreck, bro. She was a wreck, man.
She didn't have a karate outfit on?
No. She didn't have a karate. Yo, she was standing right there on the stairs, man, and she saw this dude getting laid out, bro. Man, bro, that had to have been one of the terrifying moments ever, bro. But
I was turned out that Sandy Brown had a spot.
Yeah, no, she didn't have a spot. She was just hanging out.
What was it, 1984?
You stupid. Yeah, man.
She's light skinned, right, young girl?
Sandy Brown?
Yeah.
No, but Sandy's a little, she's about my complexion.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I remember we were at Wild Coyotes, man. You were on stage, and then you were, like, having a tough time.
I was. Get out of here. I never have a tough time.
Then Ronnie Perry walks in with Cat Williams, and then you're like, yo, who invited the midget? The fucking crowd lost it, man. And up until then, I never noticed that Cat and Ronnie Perry were that short. But then I noticed, oh, they are short. They were Cat in a hat then. Oh, who invited the cat. Midgets?
That's funny, man. Man, you remember a lot of shit, bro. I can't remember anything, man.
You must smoke that good stuff.
I remember one time, man, I had to take a shit at Wild Coyotes after doing a fucking line. You know, you do cocaine so much, you got the fucking runs.
It's cut with bath stuff.
Some shit, baby laxatives or some shit. Man, I was driving over there, and I was holding it in the car. And when I finally got there, I don't even think I parked my car right. I just bailed out and ran into the bathroom, bro, and took a shit, nigga. And the shit was mixed with blood. I was like, I'm dying.
Damn. Your hemorrhoid stages.
I was like, that's some fucked up.
You had the roids.
Right. I don't think it was roids. It was probably... Could have been cancer.
I had hemorrhoids for the first time like 5 years ago. I was dying, but I thought I was going to die.
You had hemorrhoids?
Yeah.
Was it that bad?
I didn't even know what it was. At first I was constipated. Then I just fucking started pushing like, and blood, and I must have broke something. I didn't even go to a doctor, man.
Did you feel it break?
Nah.
Did it like that?
It just hurt like hell, man. Crying like a bitch.
Yeah.
What's know. Up, fool? Where can people follow you at on Instagram?
Iorcy. Or just type in Yorsey Thomas. All my information will come up. Yorsie. And whatever, find me wherever.
Whatever happened to that fucking comedy DVD we did in the streets?
Oh, you know what?
Me, your daughter.
I got that.
William,
I looked
George.
At that the other day, bro. I was watching that the
Did
other day.
Did they air it? And they were aired. Sold?
I think they aired it in Somalia. I think
it's on a ship somewhere.
I think the pirates are loving it over there.
It's the top five comedy special on a submarine.
Man, though, that was a great concept, too, bro. I'm surprised it didn't go that far. I think it would probably do well now, though.
You had a son in this stand-up, too, right in the beginning?
Yeah, my son. Yeah, Billy, yeah. He's in New York now. I mean, he's rapping now.
How old is he now?
Man. You ready for me to age you right now?
Yeah, he can't be older than my son.
How old is your son?
About to be 20-something.
My son's 31.
Oh, wow. My son's going to be 32.
Yeah, 32?
Right. So you had him in high school also?
But I got a, huh?
You had him in high school also?
When I was in high school?
Yeah.
Nah, I had him when I was 18, man.
Oh.
Yeah, I was out. I didn't finish high school, man.
Me neither.
Fuck high school, man. That bullshit. Man, I don't know, man. I right now I regret that I didn't finish school.
I do sometimes when I watch good, funny college movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Roddy, then you were back to school.
Or when I see a smart comic up on stage articulating and using fucking phenomenal words and shit, I'm like, fuck.
I always say, fuck that fool. He can't do the rooms I could do. That fool get booed off stage opening up for Mike Epps.
Right. Mike Epps.
Because I went on a tour with Mike Epps.
Yeah.
I was opening up for him, some more, Bruce. And I didn't realize... I will go up there and start doing my stand-up without greeting nobody.
Right.
They don't like that shit, man.
Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it. Yeah, Charlie Murphy told me this, bro. He said you got to go up and you got to, you know, make them feel good.
Yeah.
Or compliment them.
Yes.
Or something like that to break the ice. Charlie Murphy told me that trick. I was like, wow.
I was up there trying to do my stand-up right away, you know. They'll laugh, but it wasn't to like, what on this side? What's up?
Right.
The middle side, the this side. And then I go up there. Then I started laughing.
Right.
And because I was telling Mike Epps, because I had a Charlie Murphy book that I took from a comedy club. And one of the words, it had a story about Charlie Murphy doing stand-up comedy. How he was bombing a lot. And then he started bombing real hard. You know, as soon as he started opening up for Mike Epps, he started bombing. And then I was telling Mike Epps that he wrote about you on his book about bombing, and you give him good advice. And Mike Epps said, oh, yeah, man. This is Def Jam crowd, man. Who'd be dying up there?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me how bad Charlie Murphy was doing. Because I told him, no, man, he did particularly bad in Cleveland because he had did an interview where he said he was the LeBron of comedy.
Because
he just started doing comedy last year, and he was already killing it and doing theaters. But the crowd heard about that, man. They were booing him, bro.
No, I got a Mike Epps story.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I used to work for a company called Laser Pacific, which is post-production. And Mike Epps' project came through there. I worked in a library where all the elements came in. You know, everybody's material, whether it was film, tapes, or whatever. Well, his stuff was on like a... was on a DV or a hi-8 or something like that. I can't remember. But I was able to, I saw it when it came in. And I saw Mike Epps one day at the store or somewhere. And I said, hey, Mike, I said, your project came through my job. He goes,
for reals?
He goes, where you work at? I said, I work at Laser Pacific. He says, oh, okay. He said, my shit better not get out on the streets. I said,
I can see them say that.
I said, man, nah, man, I ain't gonna do that to you, bro. I wouldn't do that. So, long story short, next day, I get in fucking work. They pull me in the office, bro. This fool tried to get me fired, man. I had to feed my fucking kids, man, my wife. This nigga tried. Anyway, man.
Should have put that shit out there like so plain, he told him.
Right. I should. All right, man.
What's up, fool?
What up, fool?
Thomas in the house.
Yo, man, once again, man, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me, bro. I was thinking through all this crazy shit, like me and you and George Perez, bro, running around with this lady's car for 3 days. Remember we had the bug?
God damn, man.
you and I slept in his couch in the fucking garage.
Oh, God, man.
No sleep to Brooklyn. That should be the name of your C's album.
Oh, my God, man. Jeez, man. How are you able to, like, store all this fucking
I got you
shit.
A surprise, bro. I got you something from Louis XIII, bro, pre-roll.
What is this?
You know, some pre-rolls, bro, they give it to you hash, and it's all fucking shake. That's the real shit, bro. That's the joint that Tupac smoked before they shot him.
Nah, man, it's this shit that's going to have me butt naked in a chicken coop, huh?
Hell yeah, bro. The kind of shit, that's the joint that Trenton Stewart smoked and locked himself up in his trunk.
No, that's the joint he smoked, and now he's Christian. He's Bible-toting right now.
Selling plots.
I'm talking about Terrence.
Yeah, Terrence.
Is that who you said, Terrence?
Yeah.
I thought we called him Head.
Head, yeah.
Head, man.
Head.
Yeah, man. I saw him the other day.
Head, Shady Grady.
Yeah, he tried to convert me. I said, no, man, I'm not doing it, bro. Come on, brother.
What's up, fool? Yorcy Thomas, man.
Felipe Esparza, man.
Follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Same thing, man. Just Google my name, Yorcy. Yorsie. Very unique name, man.
Yeah, man.
Somebody tried to steal my shit, though. They tried to make it into a onesie. Yeah, try to name their onesie after my name, bro. Nah, I'm thinking about serving a cease and desist, bro.
You should, bro. They sent me one.
At least send you a onesie.
No, they sent me a cease to, what's it called?
A cease and desist?
Cease and desist.
For what?
For the shirt. What's up, fool?
For that,
see
for that
later. Yeah.
For that one? Wow, bro. We out of here, man, right?
Yeah.
You ain't gonna say goodbye?